Welcome to Network Marketing Breakthroughs Podcast with Rob Sperry, where you will hear stories and strategies to help increase sales in your business. Let's level up your network marketing business with your host, Rob Sperry.
All right, guys, this is going to be a total plug. So I'm just telling you right now, if you're listening to this podcast, if you like this content, what I recently launched is a program called Run with Rob. So just look in the description below. I always add in the links when I tell you right what they are. But if you go to www.runwithrob.robsperry.com, I know that's pretty wordy, huh? You'll see it. This is the opportunity to have daily coaching with me. I used to charge $2,000 a month for coaching, and we would do calls and we would strategize, but then I got burnt out because it was just too much. So I thought, I miss that interaction with helping people have these breakthroughs and strategizing with their problems, whether it's the invite, it's the follow-up, it's the close, it's lacking recruiting or duplication or mindset or limiting beliefs. I missed that. So what I did is I introduced a brand new program where you have daily voice message access to me. So I give you my cell phone and then I add you on an app, or you add me, I send you an email, you add me on an app. And then every single day I check that, where I can help you to have those breakthroughs in your business. I've got accountability on a weekly basis. I ask you what your goals are on a weekly basis. I give you the most updated strategies. I do monthly Zooms that are only for Run with Rob members with top world-renowned trainers. You get some of that law of association with high-level thinkers. So my goal is to help make those next 6 months your best. So go check it out.
All right, we have a doctor on today, so I'm a little bit nervous. I should be a little nervous, right? But she's the most friendly doctor you have ever met in your entire life. Doctor turned successful network marketer. Doctor who's been in network marketing for 6 years and built teams of over 25,000. So she's had a lot of success. She knows it. Doctor who is very coachable because I see her at a lot of these incredible generic events. And Dr. Dana, when was the first time we met each other? It was like 4 years ago at A&MP.
I met you at A&MP. Yep, A&MP.
I remember when you sent me, right, early copy of your incredible book as well. So an author, speaker, always just loving on her teams, helping her teams, and she's got unique takes on recruiting. We'll see what we get into. We'll just see where this goes, because you know I have ADHD, which stands for Dude Has Dreams. So we could be going social media do's and don'ts. We could be going on culture, which is, I know, one of your strong points as well. We could be going to recruiting, which is always a hot topic for everyone. So we could go in any direction, but just tell us a little bit. How does one go from doctor to network marketing? I mean, doctor's considered the highest of highs for credibility. I mean, it just sounds cool saying it, let alone the amount of time you got to put in to be able to become one. And the network marketing is widely considered by many, right, outside that don't know. You don't know what you don't know, but it's considered as like the lowest form of credibility for many, which is, I mean, for me, I'm just like, I don't care. This is the greatest life ever. I absolutely love it. And if they knew, then they would never, most teach their own, but most would never ever want to work their jobs. Love your jobs. Great. We're not going to rip on jobs, but why don't you give us my favorite thing lately on these podcasts, just giving like their 2 minute recap on their background, their story, what excites them. And then we'll dive into some of these hot topics.
Awesome. Okay. Good, Rob. I love you because you are every network marketer's best friend. You are.
I try. I love it. I love being, I feel like I got a whole new family of friends here. It's awesome.
Yeah, you do really good. You're like everyone's cheerleader. You're great at giving advice. Your podcast is being able to give advice to everyone that listens. So just having that available, I'm so grateful for. And I met you 4 years ago, and we've had, you know, Mexican food together, and I've had a lot of laughs, a lot of silly selfies, a lot of fun, but we've learned a lot in that 4 years. Both of us have grown tremendously on the inside in this profession, and I'm grateful for this profession. How do I turn from being a doctor to a network marketer? So I'm a holistic doctor. At the time that I found network marketing, I had 3 clinic locations. So I had 3 brick and mortar businesses. If anyone has ever owned or opened up their own brick and mortar business, you understand that you're a slave to the overhead. And so I had 2 clinic locations that were profitable and 1 that was like bleeding money.
And was on top of how many kids?
At the time, I had 2 small toddlers and I had just found out I was pregnant with my 3rd.
And how many kids now?
3 kids.
So 3 kids at the time, 2 kids and pregnant. I mean, so no big deal. I mean, you weren't busy at all. You had plenty of time on your hands, like really easy for you. So go on, go on.
Yeah, that's why I never listen to the excuse, I don't have time. There's no listening in my mind because I know where I've been. And the number one reason I fought from, because you do have to fight in your first year to grow it. You have, it's literally a grit your teeth, determination, consistency, showing up every single day in every little pocket of your day because you're fighting for time. You're fighting for the fact that you've been a slave having no time to these brick and mortar businesses, and you see a glimpse of time freedom and you'll do anything to get to the end of that rainbow and get that pot of gold, which is time freedom. And that's what I saw. I knew I had this little surprise baby in my belly. I knew I wasn't able to raise the first 2 really because I would get photos from my nanny of their first words and their first steps and all these text messages. I would be at my clinic and I would just cry, and I was trying to save the world 1 patient at a time. I'm a holistic doctor, specialize in cancer, hormone balancing, Lyme disease, like all of these very sick patients would come into my clinic and I would help them, but I couldn't be there for my favorite little humans, you know, and you just kind of start getting a perspective on what's most important in life. And so I feel like this profession gave me my life back and the ability to raise my children on my terms.
I love that. And I'm going to give you my favorite quote, which I don't think you know. My podcast listeners, they know this. A couple of them know this, right? It's die with memories, not with dreams. My favorite quote by far, not even close, because for me, success is those family vacations. And I know a lot of you listening are thinking, well, yeah, I'm the same. Like, it's so important to me, whether it's humanitarian trips or whether it's if you have a family or it's loved ones or all of those things. And that's why you'll hear me always come back to the 2 questions everyone asks themselves. Number 1, can I do it? Number 2, is it worth it? So I'm always, my goal is to always answer those 2 questions throughout every single podcast of showing you, yes, you can do this, and why. You're hearing different backgrounds, different stories, different personalities, right? And then we're giving you tangible ways of how you can do this, because I know it can be scary. It can be scary of, you know, you feel like you're risking your time, which is the most valuable thing we have on this earth. And you're like, I don't know if it's going to happen in 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years or 6 years or if ever. And then we hit the panic button. So we think it's easier to quit. So I'm just here to give you perspective that it is worth it. Just the associations alone, the positive mindset alone. If I hadn't made any money in network marketing, once I realized that it was worth it because of who I was becoming and how that helped me in all aspects of life, then I knew it was worth it. Then, of course, it was a lot easier from there having that commitment where I could now focus on, okay, now how can I make some money? Because I got to make some money to be able to have some time to be able to do what I want and do all these family vacations. So let's start out with, you talk about recruiting is a dance. That's kind of catchy. So let's talk a little bit, because we all, I mean, that's I think the most important thing is recruiting, because without recruiting, there is no duplication. There is nothing to retain, right? So it all starts there, and that's the one we try to avoid the most, get everyone else to do. So talk to us. Recruiting is a dance.
Yeah, I like to say it's a beautiful dance. And the reason being is we've all been on a first date before. We all have. And it's almost like you feel like you're in an interview. But you're in an interview and you're feeling if there's chemistry. The same thing with your prospects. You have to feel if there's chemistry and if this person would be a good fit on your team, as well as them seeing if this business is a good fit for them. So being massively interested in them, listening more than you speak, asking a lot of great pointed questions, making them feel special in a genuine way, you know, complimenting the good things you see, empowering them, showing them that they do have what it takes, and then also showing them that they're not going to be alone. You're going to link arms with them. You can crush it together. But it is a beautiful dance because I truly believe you get to design the team that you have. You get to hand select by posturing up, right? You have to posture up to be able to do this, but you get to hand select your leadership team. And you can pick positive, happy, you know, go-getters that really get it, that are in love with being entrepreneurs. You can pick people that have good work ethics and that will be, you know, work great in a team setting. I've had both. You know, I've had a team of catty, negative people that like to cut quarters and do things unethical. And I've had that before. And then at that point was the moment I decided, no, I'm going to rebuild. And when I rebuild, I'm going to decide who I pick. I'm going to pick with being a beautiful dance. I'm going to recruit by finding that avatar, you know, who is that perfect prospect that you would like to join your team, manifesting it, being very on purpose when you're recruiting and finding people that would be a good addition to your team. It doesn't have to be always recruiting up because I've found people that didn't have a large following that really went to work and just crushed it and had fun doing it. But recruiting up is good when someone has a network built in. It's always good. But just finding out that the personalities fit and making sure you're way more interested in them, becoming a professional best friend.
What do you do if, because people are going to be listening. I remember when I was there and my mentor was teaching me some of these principles. And I thought, I'll take anyone. Right. I'll take anyone. I didn't want to say I'm desperate. Right. But I was like, I just want to make my money back. I just want to start making some money. So just please, I'll take any sign up, which obviously reeks of desperation. But what do you say if someone said that? They probably wouldn't say that to you because you're such a good leader. They're probably maybe thinking it. So I'm going to say what maybe some of them are thinking. What would you say?
I mean, I love that. No one wants to smell commission breath, right? I like, because we're energetic beings. We can sense when someone's desperate or we can sense when they're being too eager, and that makes us naturally pull away. Same thing in dating. When you're dating someone and they're too aggressive, it makes you like be like, what's wrong with this person? Okay. So you definitely don't want to do that. Be a professional best friend. Be kind, and also recognize when to stop talking, right? We do the over-talking and we talk too much and we get so excited when someone has this tiniest bit of interest. Yeah, I say don't do that. Talk less, use the tools more. Always try to move it offline if you're online prospecting. Move it to a Zoom where you can look in each other's eyes, meet for coffee. Just have that genuine connection and build friendships because your team is going to be a whole lot of friendships all intertwined and connected. It's a relationship business. It's the best thing and the worst thing about our business model because of the people problems, but it's a relationship business and you get to create these bonds as everyone rises together that just makes your life so fulfilling.
100%. I think this goes perfectly into the next question because, you know, you're talking about who and what and avatar and all of these fun things. So going along with that, how do you create culture? And what about, again, let's go both. Let's go those that are leaders that are listening, but let's also go for the newest person that is like, do I even need to worry about that? Maybe am I fitting in or how do I create that? Because obviously there's always a wide range of where someone's at in their business, but why is culture so important? And how do you create it? Because I personally believe that culture is your best retention by far. I mean, I remember reading the book, Simon Sinek said, Start With Why. He talked about how people pay to go to church, whether that's tithing money, gas money to get there. He's like, they pay to go because the culture has been created where it's so strong And there's intangibles bigger than the business. That's what I call the business behind the business. So I want to hear this from you, because I believe that from seeing what you've done, that's one of your greatest strengths. You're just so good at making everyone feel so loved, so important, and just creating such a strong culture.
I feel like we have to create this heart-centered movement. There needs to be a heart-centered love vibe going through your whole team. I view it as like this big hippie compound where everyone's just free and excited and, you know, happy to see each other, and the love vibes are flowing. And I know that might sound weird to some people. It might sound like, what are they doing on that team? But it works, because the connection, the bonds, the genuine friendships, people stay long enough. If you have an incredible culture, they stay long enough to build the skill sets. And so the fact is, you have to keep them in long enough to make money. Keep them in long enough to get good. Keep them in long enough to learn the skill sets needed for success, because otherwise they'll quit before they get good. And then isn't that sad? They quit 3 feet from gold. You know, so I truly believe you have to have this bond among your team where they can look at each other across the company dimension, see the people on their team, and feel that instant eye lock happiness, because they're doing the hard work in the trenches with each other, doing the action on the team Zooms, showing up for themselves and for the whole team to help the whole team rise together. Teamwork really does make the dream work. And when you make them feel a part of something bigger than them, then they will stay long enough to get good.
So you said two words probably 8 times that are, I mean, this is a huge insight: long enough. And I give a really morbid, maybe I need to create a better one, you can help me, analogy, and I always try not to be offensive, but I feel like when someone starts, they're on their deathbed. They're like, they're on life support. So that's why when you just said that, that really hit home of me adding, don't worry, I'll give you credit the first 3 times and I'll probably forget where it came from. So you'll have to stop me. Rob, that came from that podcast we did. But when someone starts, what happens is they are on life support. They're touch and go. Anything goes wrong and it's like done, they're gone, right? And so we are trying to always, and I get that analogy of we're trying to get them where we can get them on life support, and eventually they can stand up on their own, and eventually they can walk on their own, and eventually they can jog on their own, eventually they can sprint on their own, eventually they're helping other people walk, jog, and sprint. But that's why it's touch and go at the beginning. It's just so important of how can we get them to week 2? How can we get them to month 2? How can we get them to year 2? How can we just keep them going longer? And then, of course, part of keeping them going longer is, yes, staying in the income-producing activities, right? Because as they have more results. But the longer they stay, if we're doing and teaching the right things, the more possible it is to help them to have results, because it's crazy, the expectations. And I can't hit on this enough, the expectations of people thinking that, you know, they say they have this long-term vision, but in their minds – and you can hit on that with a long-term vision, but in their minds, they say they're committed. And it's like after 6 months, oh, Dana, it's just not working for me. And it's like, what? Like you were, and it's these same people that were okay going into massive debt and they were at school or college for 5 years. Those same types of people are saying, oh, it's just not working for me, right? It's just not. So, I mean, talk about, because that's what recruiting is it's balance and culture. It's balancing short-term urgency with long-term vision.
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. We have to just keep them in long enough. I've had people just in the last, you know, couple weeks complaining after only 3 or 4 weeks. So it's like, and there, it does seem like every month is like a year long in network marketing. It really is. So I understand, but we do just have to help them manage their expectations. We can have a lot of fun. We can make a lot of income. We can do both at the same time, obviously. We can help a whole lot of other people rise, but we can't do it if they quit. We can't do any of that if they quit. So it's just keeping that culture strong enough to get out and be louder. The culture has to be louder and the bonds have to be louder than the naysayers and the haters that are in their ear. Mm. Like the opposing spouse, the, you know, the friends that are like, what? You only made $1,200 last month? That's all? And it's like, no, that's my car payment and my, you know, it's just managing. Yes, they made $1,200 after 6 months. That's pretty damn good. You know, so it's like we have to just help them realize that it's like a hockey stick. The hockey stick, the going up really, really, really slow for a while, and then it can go up, straight up, real quick. You know, it could be 10 months going up really slow, and then it can go straight up really quick. As soon as they click in their mind, they get those skill sets, they start finding their groove, they start recruiting really good people. It can really happen, but we do have to manage. And long-term vision, as far as long-term vision goes, we have to really think, you know, just like you just said, they'll go into debt and have $100,000 in student loans, which we, you know, I did, other people did, obviously. And that's pretty common. They work really hard to apply to all of these colleges. They go to college and maybe they'll go to class once in a while in between the parties. And it's a cool experience for a lot of kids. But we don't get college for network marketing. I think that's why I'm at the front row of most, you know, a lot of really good generic events. And I know you're there too. It's because we have to grow us. We have to grow our mind in order to turn around and train our team. And then I get some of my team members there and they click, you know, and they get it. And I had a team member today ask about coaching. And I said, do it. Do it. Every single time I've paid money for coaching, I have a great business coach now. Every single time I've advanced in some way. So just like you said, the personal development of this profession, if you've never made any money, is the best possible thing. But if people don't have a long-term vision, first of all, they don't learn what it takes to be an entrepreneur, right? Being an entrepreneur is the grit, the determination, showing up for you over and over and over because of that taste of time freedom that they get. But then having a long-term vision helps you to stick it out through the ups and downs.
100%.
It helps you not to give up and throw in the towel over something little, over drama on the team or over a company to, you know, discontinuing your favorite product or, you know, every little thing. And I feel as leaders, we're often managing expectations and helping people think more long-term.
There's always going to be things that happen. There are always going to be trials that come. It's so crazy when you think about it. You just said like investing in coaching. I invest a lot into coaching and learning. I mean, I think a lot of people would be really surprised and they'd be like, oh, I that's insane. And that's crazy. And it's the whole of, you know, a lot of times, well, I can't afford it. And it's like just joining a network marketing company. Well, I can't afford it. Well, it's typically when you can't afford not to. And I get that all the time as I do some of these interviews I started doing this year. So I did personal coaching, then I stopped because I got, to be honest, too overwhelmed. There were too many phone calls and stuff. And so then I switched to daily voice message access. And I feel like I'm having a greater impact, but it's simple, really, really simple. And it's fun. And every so often I have these interviews of people that are looking to run. It's called Run with Rob, which is always weird saying your own name, but that's what everyone voted on. So it's Run with Rob. And in it, it's funny, some of these interviews, yeah, well, hopefully I can do it in like a year or 2 years. And you know me, my style is not like, I'm never going to be pushy. It's the whole amateurs convince, experts sift and sort. But it's just, it's fascinating and interesting, the perspective that people have. And I've seen people that are just so successful that just keep reinvesting more and more and more to really level up, to be accountable. But look at the top athletes, like every single one of them. The best in the world. And it's like, who's going to coach them? They still hire coaches as they go. And I love how we're going through all of these, just, I mean, so many different points. The last one I'll do is give us, because it's a really big one, social media do's and don'ts. Because social media now is the best way to build your business fast. But of course, there's ways that people do it the wrong way that they can create the wrong culture, the wrong set of expectations. So give us some of social media, the do's and don'ts for network marketing.
All right. Yes, this is one of my favorite topics. I believe that people should look at your profile, either Instagram or Facebook, and they should know you. They should feel like they know you. This business is all about people join you because they know, love, and trust you. And with social media, you can get the know, love, and trust with strangers. And that's the beautiful thing about creating your social media for that purpose, being very intentional with it. So these are the do's. Positivity in every single post. Positivity, gratitude, and maybe a lesson of some sort in every single post. Sprinkle your business in. It's not the main thing. Your business is only a tiny highlight of your social media, just enough to create curiosity and draw people in. This is attraction marketing. We're not repelling anyone with being too spammy. So that's the first don't is don't be spammy. Do be positive and draw people in with attraction marketing. Another do is talk to people with the intention of being their friend. Talk to people with the intention of being their friend, not getting a new team member or a sale. Okay. So people, we had a power hour this week. And because of the power hour, we were doing a lot of like what to say and what to do when we're prospecting. We just all went into massive action, everyone on the Zoom. And it was really effective. It really kind of refilled my cup, actually. But it made me go through and actually look and study what I say when I'm prospecting someone on Messenger. And it was eye-opening to me. It was kind of fascinating because I realized that a lot of times I don't mention anything about my business until they ask. Like I'll talk to them just chatting it up, making a new friend, not even thinking about my business until they say, "What do you do exactly?" Have you ever gotten that, Rob? Like, what exactly do you do?
100%. And then sometimes I'm like, oh, I probably should have approached them. Right. I probably should have approached them sooner, but I love because you're doing it with the right intent. And so many people are like so strong on like direct, indirect. And I'm like so big on just do whatever's you, like whatever's best for you. Like there's no such thing as perfect duplication. And the key is sometimes we get so caught up in turning everyone to robots. And it's like, if someone told me that I had to approach someone right away, always, I would have quit right away. But other people, if you tell them that they need to, you know, wait for a second or third conversation, they quit. So there's no right or wrong, but I love your intent because you're just genuinely just being a good human being. And so it's not fake chit chat of, hey, how's the weather where you're at? How are you today? And there's like, good, right? Actually, I had two messages today that said that. How are you today? Like, am I supposed to just respond like, good, good, great, how are you? But instead, you're just like, let's say you ran into somebody at anywhere, right? With your kids' function at school and you meet someone, how would you have a real conversation and just like genuinely just care about people? This is a relationship business that makes a huge, huge difference. So if there was one thing you wish you would have known when you started network marketing that you know now, one, and it could change. I always say it could be something different later, but something that comes to your mind right now, if there's one thing you wish you would have known or maybe known better, what would be that one thing? That'll be our parting question that you're just put on the spot.
Yeah. I wish at the beginning I recognized and could spot distractions and time wasters. One of the best things in network marketing is to be super productive with the time that you have. Time blocking, being very good about scheduling, being very good about your daily method of operation, showing up for yourself as a business. At the beginning, I dabbled and I did too much time wasting and thought it was working. And so I learned in time, no, this is a business. I have to treat it the same way I treat my clinics. I have to be very on purpose with the time that I have. I have to be very productive. I have to get things done. I can't be flighty or flaky or, you know, which we all have those days. We all do. We're not always showing up 100% every single day. But I do believe if you approach it with a strategy and if you approach it with organization, then you'll be way more productive. That is one thing I learned as I went. Whereas if I could get every new person to show up organized and coachable and ready to rock it with IPAs, income producing activities, get them right into action. Doesn't have to be perfect, just has to be action, and send them on their way. And if I could teach them that, you know, then that would have been something I wish I knew right at the beginning. Oh, and started.
That was my kick for all of last year. Income producing activities, organizing them, creating different tiers for them. So you're speaking my language. I love that. Cause yeah, I was caught up in the fake work, the busy work, feeling like I'm working so hard, but it was just fake busy work. Well, thank you so much. Where can everybody find you on the wonderful world of social media? Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, yeah. YouTube. Where can everybody find you?
My book is Magnetic Soulpreneur. Everyone can get a free copy at magneticsoulpreneur.com. Find me on Facebook, Dana McGrady, and find me on Instagram at Dr. Dana McGrady.
Love it. Well, thank you so much for your time. We all greatly appreciate it. And thank you for all of the insights and just being you, just being awesome, Dr. Awesome.
Thank you, Rob. Can't wait for our next silly selfie when I see you next.
Texas. It'll happen in Texas.
Texas, yeah.
Thanks so much for tuning in and listening to my podcast. If you're loving the podcast, make sure you go smash that subscribe button so you don't miss any of the latest and greatest podcasts. And as always, please go leave a 5-star raving review. And then the last thing I always want to mention to all that listen to podcasts is if you go to www.robsperry.com, I have tons of free content there to help you out to build your network marketing business.